I want to begin this morning with a little audience participation. If you have a cell phone, a smartphone, please raise your hand. Right. If you have an internet at your house, please raise your hand. If you have a Facebook account, raise your hand. Some of you are not even putting it down. You're just going to hold it up the whole way. If you have a Twitter account, Snapchat, or all that sort of social media, please raise your hand. If you've ever taken a selfie, raise your hand without your cell phone in case you get the notion to do a selfie. If you have text while driving, see Bruce. You're going to need him. If you have used your smartphone, iPad, or electronic device at the dinner table, raise your hand. If you have ever used your smartphone or iPad for something other than a Bible program during church services, please do not raise your hands. I do not want to see that many hands raised. And we actually give the password to the internet out here, which is bizarre. Welcome to the world that we live in. There was a time not long ago that phones were found in every home. They had a long extension cord to them. You actually had to put your finger in a little thing and do that number to bring it around. Of course, there's a couple of you who are probably old enough that you had to take it off and say, Sarah, would you get me? There was a time when children had to read books and go outside to play. There was a time that if you wanted to know how many feet were in the mile, you went and broke out the World Book Encyclopedia and found out what that answer was. One of the most popular places, gathering place, not long ago, was a place called the library. They had things called books in it that people would actually take home and read and study. There was a time when you never heard what Charles said this morning. Please silence your cell phones. Do you realize that we're just doing that because we have to do it? That's kind of amazing. There was a time that people had a lot more common sense, I think, too, than what we have today. Cars were designed, believe it or not, for transportation. There was a time that the Europeans thought it was kind of odd that we have cup holders in our cars. They said, what's that for? You actually eat and drink in your car? I mean, that was just sort of bizarre. But now we do everything. We have movies and videos and games and cup holders and consoles, and we can eat full-blown meals going down the road 70 miles an hour, talking on our cell phones and putting makeup on. There was a time that you seldom had to beg the brethren to read the Bible. We live in a tech world. We live in a world that everything is done by technology. We have had a lot of advances in medicine. There are some of you who have technological things in your bodies as I speak right now. There are things that we have changed technologically about transportation, about obviously about communication and about information and about the utilities that we have. We no longer have to go down to the river and beat our clothes on the rock. We have wash machines, and we have all kinds of electronic devices that make our lives so much easier. Here at the Brooksville Church, we have audio recordings and video recordings and PowerPoint and web pages that email and text and voice call. We got a color coffee machine and air conditioning. All of this technology. I mean, we are beyond the pale of where Paul even thought about being when he was running around the world. But we live in a world of social media. We live in a world that is consumed with electronics because, let's face it, we have all seen this picture probably because that is either us or no, it's us. Gathering around a table and everybody's on their electronic devices doing whatever it is that they like to do. And the fact that it's not even safe to go down the street anymore because there are people who are not paying attention to where they are going and that they will find themselves just consumed by this thing. I did have a picture. Maybe I'll show it in the next couple of lessons about a woman that you may have already seen. She is walking down apparently a street like Chicago or New York or something, and she falls into a hole in the ground because she is texting. But we just live in a world that is filled with this. Everybody stands around. They ignore one another. You get in an elevator, people don't look at one another. They look at their cell phone. phones. You stand on a street corner. We live in a world that no longer people look up. They're looking at their cell phones. And this is the week of Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. And I suspect that this may be the Thanksgiving that many are going to experience. And please note that Grandma, while she is putting the turkey on the table, has got a phone thing in her ear. And she's talking. So she's not off the hook. But I mean, this is the world we live in. You see it, you live it, we're part of it, and we just live in a tech-savvy world that has changed everything. I like this picture, found it on the internet. The evolution of the social media. Did you notice that we're bending over again? And eventually we're going to go right back to the old knuckles on the ground and the bending over? I know, we're not coming from evolution. That's the point. Don't get too excited about the picture. But we're going back, you know. I mean, this is the world that we live in. We live in a tech world. Phil Robertson, the short one, not the tall one, is a good friend of mine that preaches over in Gainesville, and he presented a series of lessons recently about disconnect to reconnect. I like that statement. And I'm going to be borrowing heavily from some of the things that he has said and some of the stats that he has brought, because, quite frankly, as I was just sort of roaming around and technologically cruising the internet, listening to podcasts and things like that, I came across this series and I thought, wow, what a great series. And when I got through, I thought, what a terrible series. I'm depressed because of the reality that he brings to the point and the fact that when we think about the world that we live in, it is not the world that we lived in long ago. And the fact that the seriousness of these kinds of things is that it has changed our view of God. It has changed our view of one another. It has changed our view of the world. And I like that idea, to disconnect or reconnect. And that's what we need to see about our social media, that we need to always understand that Satan is abounding in opportunities and times to try to get our attention away from God. And that he does so by so many subtle things that in and of themselves are good. We're not going to be doing a series of lessons about the evils of electronics, because they're not evil. I'm using electronics. This thing that I've got on my head is electronics, and we like electronics. I like to get in my truck and go down the road and it work. That's electronics. We like to use our cell phones and our smartphones for good things, and that's what it's all about. But the problem is that in too many ways, we need to disconnect from that because it does consume us. It consumes our lives, where many times what Satan tries to tempt us with, or at least to draw us away, is not by some evil thing down a dark alley that we would obviously say, oh, I can't have that. It's so often he looks at us with things that are appealing, the things that, well, really are good in and of themselves, but it changes us. And as a family, we've been consumed by the electronics that we have, because it is a national passion almost without end. I mean, just think about the amount of time that we spend, or some of the numbers, and this is stuff that you can find all over the internet, and studies have actually been done about our use and the things that we have engaged in, and the numbers, that the average American with a smartphone will spend an average of 3 hours a day on their unit, and that is conservative. Some of you are thinking, 3 hours, nothing. More than that. And the fact that if you add all of this up, you know, we may not be looking at it for that length of time, although there are some who really do it. We're always checking it. We're pinging it. We're trying to swipe this, and we get notifications and bing, da da bang. You can't have a conversation sometimes with people because of all the pinging and the dinging going off. And the conversations and the cell phones ringing and having meetings. I was in a meeting yesterday, and one of the fellows that I went with, he must have got up 10 times to go answer the phone. You know, we just live in that kind of a world. It's kind of normal. According to those numbers, that would be about 86 hours a month. College students, right? Where are you at? There you are. 4 hours. Don't tell your mom and dad. It's okay. And most of it is spent on social media or entertainment. Of course, there was a time when phones were used for phones instead of what we have now. That's why we call them smartphones. I'm not sure why we call them smartphones. But the reality of it is that even if those statistics are conservative and even if those statistics are fairly accurate, if you add all of that up, they say that that equals about 5 years of life. Now, five total years of doing nothing but holding this thing in our hand and doing something with it. That's what we're doing so often with our electronic devices. I mean, to think about anything that you would take 5 years, if you wanted to add 5 years to your life, or take away 5 years. That's what the numbers come up to. We don't think about that because we do it through the deer. And I know yesterday, probably by this, 11:40 this morning, you've already used your smartphone quite frequently. And you haven't, we haven't thought about, and please let me say this, this is about we. It ain't about you. I'm going to make an, I text while I've driven, okay? Get it over with. All right, fine. I've done it before, and I try not to do it, and it's because you people text me. Actually, I'm really not a texter. I just want you to know this is about me as much as it is you. But it's really about you. We have to see that, the problem that is there. You think about all of this consuming our lives, we don't think about it. And that's why when I was listening to the series, I'm just shaking my head thinking, what have we done? Where are we at? He shared this picture. I enjoyed this picture. This is a movie premiere in Boston, Massachusetts. Some movie that they were putting forth. There was a Boston Globe photographer that took this picture, and apparently it went viral. I always like it when they say it went viral. I didn't get it. But, of course, I'm not a real fan of a lot of that that stuff anyway. But the reason that this photo was so viral, which means it just spread like wildfire, is because here is a movie premiere and all of these supposedly important people are coming down, and there's only one person in this whole picture that is enjoying the moment. Everybody else is on the doing this and doing that. And you actually see this. What's interesting about this picture is this is not uncommon, because if you go to a lot of places and if you sort of back up and don't do anything and just watch people and you see what's going on, you're going to see so much of this going on. And there are the rarefied few that are just there that are enjoying the moment. Somebody put the caption that said, "This is radical." Somebody who knows how to be in the moment and enjoy the moment. And what that should remind us of is, how many moments have I lost in my life? How many moments have I lost with my family, with my job and my world and the thing that my brethren and all these things? How much of that have I lost because I haven't been in the moment? And that we have been so busy about things. I also found this little quote, these little quotes on the internet, and it's kind of interesting. See, I'm using technology to do some research. Do they still have libraries? I don't know. It's just, in struggling with our technology, somebody said, "It's the smartphone that has turned adults and children alike into tech-addicted zombies, dumbly swiping and jabbing at their screens, oblivious to the world around them." Does that sound familiar? It's the smartphone that has trapped people in this constant, miserable hamster wheel of updates and notifications and self-destructive comparisons with friends and celebrities and the virtual demolition of any remaining barriers between work and personal life. Sound familiar? Okay, I see a lot of this going on. It's the smartphone that is responsible for one of the most depressing and increasing and ambiguous sights of the modern age, a family sitting together but totally detached from one another, engaged with their screens rather than the people closest to them. Does that sound accurate? I mean, does it sound pretty close? Now see, the thing we have to do is we have to be careful that we're not like the man of Luke 18. You remember him? That's on page 1207 of your Bibles. We're not going to read that, but it was the two men that went up to pray, and one of them comes up and he says, "I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there." Now see, we can't do this with this kind of material, because it's all about us. Because I suspect that everybody here has got some electronic device or whatever that is kind of running our lives and is doing things, whether it's a smartphone or an iPad. I know there are some things I have no idea what Twitter is. I don't even get that. I don't even know what Snapchat. So I'm still behind on this stuff, and I'm going to stay there. Matter of fact, I'm trying to go backwards, but if they would make a cell phone that had a rotary dial on it, I'd be happy. I'm going to make an app. That's what I'll do. I'll make an app, and it'll sound like a rotary phone. I just love rotary phones. Actually, I used a rotary phone for a long time until the technology wouldn't let me plug it in. I've got some that I can plug in. But we don't need to be like the man of Luke 18 that says, "Well, that's not me," because it is us. And we're going to talk this week and next week and probably another week, and we're going to talk about especially what this has to do with our children and the family and the things that we are dealing with. We need to understand the power of technology, and there's a lot of information that you can get, again, on the internet about some of this, and I can recommend some of them to you. But we need to understand that what this is designed to do is to be addictive. This is a smartphone for a reason. It has all of these bells and whistles and apps and things that are on there because it is something that has a particular design to it, and it is designed to be addictive. Just like substance abuse, or whether it is tobacco or alcohol or drugs, Technology is designed and crafted to keep us hooked and keep us online and to keep us there, because that's what they design and that's what the purpose of all of these apps and these things that come along. There's a guy named Tristan Harris. His name is Tristan Harris. You can look him up. He's got a great piece here. He actually worked for Google. And I found this was interesting. He worked for Google, and his job was a design ethicist. In other words, he was the one who was kind of responsible for creating a world of ethics about our technology. Isn't it interesting that we're attaching ethics to mobile devices? We're attaching ethics, moral things to this electronics. And his job, he said, was to defend 1 billion people's minds from getting hijacked. And what he says in a lot of these things is that the power of this technology hijacks our minds, and it hijacks who we are and what we are. And that was his job. And that he wants us to know that there are actually people sitting in rooms right now in big tech companies, and their whole purpose is to find ways to keep you and me on our cell phones. Because I know you're smiling because you're thinking, you know, I have noticed that I can't get off. Because have you ever noticed that when you, like on Facebook, you get news feeds, or you go into Vimeo, or you go into YouTube, and you watch a video, and they never end. Because you watch the one that you want, and all of a sudden another one pops up. And, oh, what's that? And so you watch, and then that one, and what happens is that they create this with the idea that these things will never end, and you could sit there all day long watching them run right after the other. When we used to read things called newspapers or books or magazines, what did we do with them when we got through with them? We put them down, because what? We were finished with them. That's not true about the technology that we have today. You need to be shaking your head, because that's right. And the news feeds, because even on Facebook, you know, you have these little news feed things. Drives me crazy. I wish I could take them off. And the fact that they'll have these news things, and if you click on them, guess what? 397 of them appear. Boom. Well, I didn't see that. And so there you go, and you go down and more and more and more. And so it's designed that way. I mean, if you look at it, that's the way it's done. And what do you do the first time you go on Facebook? I'll tell you, the first thing I do, you know what I do? I look for that little bubble that says if anybody thinks liked what I've done. If there's a like, and if that's a small number, I'm really upset. I want 15 or 16. And so I have this game, you know, I wonder if it's going to be between 5 and 3 or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. But why do they have those notice appeals up there, like the likes and the comments and the tags? Because that's going to keep us hooked. Because we're going to go see that, and then we got those little, you know, bubbles are driving us crazy. And I got to tell you, you know, Chris Emerson, please tell him he's getting a lot of mileage out of this thing. A me bubble. Those things are all over technology, because this little bubble pops up, and it is appeal to keep, you know, we want approval. We want people to like what we want. We put things on Facebook, and there's that like button, and man, we want people to like it. We get upset if nobody likes our stuff. Because I never have figured out that when you put really bad news up there, they like it. It's like, that's not a like. Oh, I know you can put a sad face, but I mean, the whole concept, of course, I never have quite understood what friend meant anymore. So we have redefined things, because we have friends that are really not our friends. Friends that we have on Facebook, we have no idea who they are. I mean, they're from the Philippines. I didn't know I had so many relationships in Russia and everybody else, that everybody wants to be my friend. And so that's what they do. And the numerous choices per page. I mean, you look at a Facebook page, for example, and pages like this. I mean, there's stuff all over the place. I got to check this out. And I got to go check that out. Oh, what's that? And there's advertisements and things that are there. Well, I got to go see what that is. And what we can do is we can sit there and become consumed, because what? It is designed to be addicted. And I didn't bring my phone with me. It's in the office, because I was scared to death. If I brought my phone up here, about halfway through, somebody would call me, you know, and it would ring. Of course, the mistake of that is that I'd know who you were, Gene. And I would, you know, and get it done. But, you know, when you get, you can set your phone up that if you just turn your phone on, it'll pop up with all these bubbles. You've got an instant message. You've got email. You've got notification. And you've done this and blah, blah. And, you know, it's like, man. I've got this, it's just all of those push notifications. And then the thing that really kind of drives me crazy, which is something, is that, you know, people do not realize, if you didn't realize, Facebook is, everybody in the world can see this thing. And they put stuff up there and get upset that people actually respond in a negative way. But the reality of it is that what some of my dear brethren do, present company excluded, is that somebody will say something that will make them mad, and then, boy, they just go on this long tyrant. Do you remember 12 months ago what Facebook was like? After the election of President Trump? And the outrage and the ridiculousness that went on. And you're thinking, this is insane. These are people that, number one, probably don't know one another. These are people that do know one another. And they're using an electronic means to vehemently defend themselves or to say things that, you know, the problem with the written word is that you don't know the inflections of it. And you never capitalize, right? Is that a rule? You don't, because if you're capitalizing, you're screaming. I don't know what that's about. I just capitalize sometimes so it's easier to read, but you can't do that. And so the problem is, you know, it's designed in that manner. And so all of that is just to say that the outrage is clearly there. There is a challenge. And there's a lot of other data that you can look at, and you can see that the problems that have to do with electronics is real. I mean, we have come to the time that this is not something that is just a casual pastime. This is our national passion. And I suspect that we may not want to admit what we have seen this morning, this reality that we know that isn't true. But here's the thing that we've got to remember as people of God. James 1:27. It's on page 1386 of your Pew Bible. God tells us that we are to remain unspotted from the world. And that means anything that will take us away from Him. When He was talking to the children of Israel about, you shall have no other gods before Me, He wasn't just saying, okay, don't have any idols. He was saying, I do not want anything to distract you from who I am. And that's a danger that we have to face. And in a reality that we've got to understand that there are things in this world that are vying for our time. They are good in and of themselves. I remember when I was in junior high school, I had a math teacher that, you know, back then, you know, TV was very limited. TV in the controller, you know, the, what do you call that thing? The controller? Yeah. That was a kid about this tall. Go change the channel. That's about how the, you know, that was done. But I remember that he told me, we were talking about television or something. He says, you know, television is a kleptomaniac. I said, a what? Man, that was a huge word for a junior high kid. It's a stealer of time. And see, there's a lot of good about television. But if it takes us away from God, if it takes us away from who we're supposed to be, that's something that we have to be concerned about. And the reality of it is, while we have not seen it maybe as clearly, we have to understand that there's a lot of things that can become addictive. Because that's all we want to do. Would we give our children cigarettes? Well, no. Why? Because that's bad for them. And we don't want them to become addicted to it. We wouldn't give them drugs. And we have to be wise to this and understand what these things are about. And the reality of it is that this is what we find ourselves in a world that has all these blessings, but what is it doing to our relationship with the Lord? And we have to be very careful about these things because they're true. And you can deny them all you want, but it's true and you know they're true. Because we all, and I do. You know, we all get to where we're thinking, why am I doing this? I think the numbers is we check our email 150 times a day. Did you ever go to the mailbox 150 times and check the mail? Well, of course not. You check it once a day. But we have become a people that are so consumed by these kinds of things. And there are ways that we can show that, that this is being done. Go look in your, not now. Go, if you look at your settings and you go to battery usage, it will tell you what you use most. That's a scary thing to do. Because it'll tell you where you've been. You can do it for the last 7 days. There are actually, well, there's an app for everything. There are apps that you can buy that, you know, that will tell you what you have been doing. And we're going to talk a little bit later about the relationship of children in particularly. And we're going to tell you what age that they are allowed to get one and what age they're not allowed to get one. And there's no child in this room that should have one. I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about that later. But We've got to, I'm really kidding, I'm the death stares are coming out. If you just look and see what your usage is, you'll be surprised what you've been doing. Number one, 5 years out of our life being taken up into this kind of stuff. We need to track our children's use because that's very harmful. We're going to talk about that again later. And if you have unlimited data, just remember what that's doing to your children is that the unlimited data means that they can just go on it constantly, you know, and to be on there. But here's the passage in Ephesians chapter 5. You see, here's where all this relates. Did you know that the Bible talks about all this? This is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. The problems that we have today are not anything different from last generations or even in the first century. Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 15 on page 1346, he said that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That has a lot to do with what we do. No matter what it is, we've got to redeem the time because the days are evil. We've got to make wise use of our time. We've only got 24 hours in a day. We've only got 7 days in a week. We've only got so many days in a year. We've only got so many years to live. And the fact that we've got to be very, very concerned about the kind of time, and what Paul says is that we need to walk as wise people. If there's anything else that's an awareness, and let us being aware of the things that are going to impact my life, my family's life, and my salvation. Because even things as simple as electronics can impact that. And we've got to see how that is. I mean, recognize the signs of addiction. Could I be addicted to technology? You might want to sit down for this one. Could I really be in a place that it really, that, you know, it has taken over my life, and that, how much has this become a necessary part of my mental state? And to know whether or not that maybe I have some kind of an addiction to there, and the fact that I can't live without it. Have you ever left home and thought, oh no, where's my phone? Have you ever lost your phone? I mean, what is that feeling that comes over you? And the fact that you are just, oh, I just don't know what to do. Because I have, I mean, if you stop and think about, really? Something that's electronic, that we absolutely go into a panic because we don't have my cell phone. That is my constant friend. I mean, you know, I had a pillow when I was growing up that was my security blanket. We have our technology now. Or, you ever get those phantom pulses? I'm out on the lawnmower and I'm mowing around. I think, oh, that's just, you know, there's just some sensations that go up. Oh, I got a message. Got a phone call. Because our body is trying to, it's telling us, you know. I mean, okay, you've done it. I know you've done it. You've had those, that's happened to me more than once. Do you have to check it late at night? Oh, I got to check. Have you checked it in the last 20 minutes? Don't answer that. You got to check it. You know, you wake up to check your phones. You have to use it while you're eating with others. You sit down to a meal in a restaurant at home. You got to pull it out. Yeah, what was that? Yeah, okay, right. You have TextNet. This is Phil Robertson's. You know what TextNet is? Chiropractors hate that. But you can look, and here's a fact. He had a picture of Florida College, but if you look at a crowd of people, you can tell the text necks. Because their neck is pointed in such a way that's not natural, and they're doing this. And their neck, I mean, you know, that's why we're slumping over now. You see that, when your neck hurts, and you wonder why you have to go to the chiropractor to get your neck fixed, it's probably because that thing that's in your hand. Nobody does this, unless you're driving, and that's illegal. Or you surf or text while you drive, and that's just stupid. Or somebody has talked to you about your habits. You see, the part of that that is key is what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verse 1. And some of these you'll kind of pick up upon our love of technology when he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Do you know why they call selfies selfies? Because we're taking pictures of ourselves. You can now buy, selfie sticks? I can get way out there. And we want to take a picture of ourselves. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You need to know what you look like. Apparently you don't know what you look like, so you take 100 pictures of yourself and put it on Facebook so you can see what you look like. You know, I mean, it's an important process, I'm sure. But I mean, you kind of think about, what is that all about? I mean, it's the glorification of ourself. And the sad part about it is, and you know this to be true, the sad part, there have been people that have been killed because of that. They're going to get a picture up next to a place and they're on a cliff and they're taking a selfie and they fall to their deaths. I mean, that's really, really sad. And so, you know, but part of it is they're boasters and proud. I mean, this is, by the way, this is the list of Facebook. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders. Here it is. Without self-control. Galatians 5 talks about the ability to control self. The Christian graces of 2 Peter talks about controlling self. And the reality of it, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be eating, it could be working, it could be doing a lot of things. If we do not have control of those things, then there's a problem. And what we find about technology so often is that there is no control. That we just let it rule our life and we are consumed by those kinds of things. And if we hit any of these, then we may have a problem with addiction. I have found something that at least works for me is that I found one of those things that you mount up on your dash that you put your phone on. And of course you can talk to it. But whenever I go into a store or go into a Bible study or doing, I leave the thing out there and I've found that actually to be quite refreshing. My aunt Catherine used to say back in the day when we had real phones, she never ran to answer a phone. Phone would ring, she never ran. I said, why? She said, they can call me back. If it's that important, they'll call me back. And I have found that by leaving my cell phone in the truck, that really it kind of works. I get out, of course nobody calls me, not that I have to worry about that. But, you know, there it is, and I can go buy groceries, or I can go and visit with somebody, or I can go have a Bible study, and that thing never pulses, it just doesn't do anything. It's out of sight and out of mind. We've got to be able to control ourselves. And that's part of self-control. And then to actively avoid what is worthless. Let's go over to Psalm 101, back in the Old Testament, page 689. We're just going to read verse 3, because what David says here, he had a problem here. He had the same problem that we're dealing with today. Yep, David back in the Old Testament had technology and he had a problem. He said in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Do you really think that it's worth 5 years of my life? I mean, let's do an analysis. Let's be honest. Have we become so consumed with our electronics and our cell phones and things that we have lost sight in what is really true in life? When's the last time we went for a walk, looked at the stars, smelled the flowers, had a conversation? You know that insurance commercial, the guy's going down a road, I know that nobody listened and they're all talking on their whatever. I mean, when is the last time we did things like that? And what's really a sad reality is that we're going to use this thing really more to our detriment than anything else. If you want a fun book to read, it's a book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, written back in the early 40s. You can find it actually online, free, in a PDF. And it's a book about, it's sort of a fun book, it's a book about two demons writing to one another about their clients. And their clients are the people that they're trying to get to sin or to, you know, come over to the devil. And so it's a story about, a lot of stories about a guy writing to a demon called Wormwood. And this was written back in the early 40s. And one of the things that he says in the 12th letter that he writes, which is kind of interesting, it's incomplete in your sermon notes. He says to his fellow demon about this client that they have, you no longer need a good book which he really likes to keep him from his prayers or his work or his sleep. A column of advertisements in yesterday's paper will do. You can make him waste his time not only in conversation he enjoys with people whom he likes, but in conversations with those he cares nothing about on subjects that bore him. Sounds just like Facebook. You can make him do nothing at all for long periods of time. You can keep him up late at night. One of the addiction signs. You can keep him up late at night, not partying, but staring at a dead fire in a cold room. All the healthy and outgoing activities which we want him to avoid can be inhibited and nothing given in return, so that at last he may say, as one of my own patients said on his arrival down here, I now see that I spent most of my life in doing neither what I ought nor what I liked. Sounds just like where we find ourselves today. The fact that we spend, you know, and admittedly, and it's television, it's the internet, it's a lot of things that we do in life. When we stand before God, are we going to say, you know, that really wasn't important? I wasted my life doing all that kind of stuff for what? Losing my family or losing the joys of life and losing all of those things. What is the real point? The last thing is that we really just need to be people of communication. We're going to talk about this a little bit more as the lessons develop. But, you know, faith comes of hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's a process of communication. And John, in his two epistles, made these two statements that I think are inherent in trying to see what we need to be doing in our lives. In 2 John, verse 12, he says, I have a lot of things that I want to write to you. I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. That's one of the things that drove me crazy first about smartphones is that when my children would text me, I would write them back and say, stop texting me. Call me. I haven't got time to take my big old thumbs and try to figure out where to put all those things. And then the autocorrect drives me crazy. And then I don't spell and whatever. So just call me. But now I text a lot. And, you know, what do you do? Whatever happened to face-to-face? We spent this past weekend with Dan Cheney about relationships. I got to tell you, you don't have relationships on Facebook. You don't have relationships in text. You don't have relationships in those kind of things. The relationship that we have is face to face. God created us not to be alone. God created us so that we would be together. God created us so that we can communicate with one another. When God made woman, He didn't send her off and said, just text or write to her. He put her right there, and Adam said, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You know, the relationship that we have in the body of Christ is based upon a relationship that is basically face to face. He said the same thing in 3 John verse 14 when he says that I want to speak to you. I hope to see you shortly, but we shall speak face to face. I mean, when's the last time that you had a long conversation with your wife or your husband, face to face? When's the last time that we sat down with our children and all those things were put aside and said, let's just spend time together? Your neighbors that we actually go and communicate to, that we even know our neighbors and we speak to, or even with our brethren. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight when we talk about leaving our island, the fact that we have a relationship with one another because we know one another. We know what we look like. Did you know Ryan got a haircut? You wouldn't know that if you didn't see him face to face. You see, it's God made us to have relationships. Television began with the purest of intentions, but it was eventually destroyed because of the nature of wickedness and vulgarity. Smartphones began with the same intentions, but it is and can be an addiction. They make money the more you look. They want you to be on the phone that they create so that you will stay on it as long as you can. We've got to be fully aware of these dangers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul makes this statement, and it's talking about the eating of meats and those kinds of things, but he says this in verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. There's nothing wrong with having a cell phone. There's not. Don't misinterpret. It's not wrong to have an iPad or a Nintendo or PlayStation or whatever. It's not wrong to have any of those things. It's what we do with them. And Paul said, all things may be lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. If we allow it to be brought, or our lives to be brought under its power, we're making a serious mistake. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is profitable for you that your members perish rather than your whole body be cast into hell. We could speak to pornography and things that go on the internet that are going to damn people's souls. And the sad part is that when you stand before God in judgment, to realize, you know, it was not worth it. and the gossip and the things that go on in electronic devices, Jesus said it would be better if you did not have those things and go to heaven than to have those things, be popular, be like everybody else, and go straight to hell. It's not worth it. And that's what he meant. Because the thing about the, you'll notice that he talks about in this verse your right eye. And in verse 30, he talks about the right hand. Do you realize that our eyes are precious to us? Our hands are precious to us? And living without our eyesight or our hands is something that would make life very difficult. And these are very precious things. And sometimes our electronics are more precious to us than anything else in this world. And it would be better not to have them at all. The only thing that is important to connect in this life is Jesus Christ. Go back to Phil's statement. We need to disconnect to reconnect. Because Jesus came to do one thing. Jesus came to connect with you and I. Jesus came to send, to show his love by saying, I want to have a relationship with you. That is a personal relationship. That is something that is built upon the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, as he looked at the multitudes out there, he had compassion and he said that they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And that's what Jesus has come to do for us. He has come to die for us, to give us hope and to give us life. He's come to give us real life. And sometimes we have to take our life back from the world that has completely entrapped us. Things to think about. Things to consider. We'll have more to say about this later. Jesus came to die for your sins and mine. If you're not a Christian, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, and to make a confession with your mouth, Romans 10, that you believe that He is the Son of God, you can be baptized in water. That takes place in a little baptistry right back here. We will do that this morning. And yet, being a child of God, we have got to be God's people. We've got to be examples to those in the world. Consider these things as together we stand as we sing.